in a series called Believe, where we are just taking a deep dive into the book of John. And if you're just jumping in, I just want to say welcome. You're not too far behind, because this whole series is revolved around answering this one simple question: who is Jesus? And this is why John actually wrote this book, not to just give us a lot of stories and paint a lot of metaphors, but to reveal who Jesus actually is. Not so that we could just know about him, but so that we could truly know him. And each week in these series, we are slowing down, and we're going to focus in on the moment so powerful that Jesus reveals about himself. And so today, we're going to be diving into one of my favorite chapters in John chapter 10. But before we get into the word, I want to ask you guys a question right out of the gate. Have you ever stopped? I mean, have you ever just stopped and think about and realize of all the voices that are speaking into your life? I mean, it's wild and crazy when you think about it. We have the cultural voices telling us who we should be. We have the social media voices. They're telling us what we're missing out on. And of course, we have the voices in our family. They're always telling us who we've always been. And then there is that voice inside of our own head that's saying who you've always been. Now, some of these voices are helpful, sure. I realize that. But some of them can actually be harmful. But here's the real tension. How do we know which voice to trust? And can I be real with you for a second? I don't always listen to the right voice. A couple years ago, me and Alana, we were actually heading from Orlando down into Miami to go see her mom. And if you're anything like me, I am always plugging in my destination of the GPS. Does everyone use GPS, or am I like the only one? Because let's just say, God did not give me the greatest sense of direction. Because if I did not put in that GPS where I was going, I would wind up in the backwoods, Kentucky. And nothing against Kentucky. Kentucky's a great place, beautiful place. Oh, and I just realized I just did something here, because all you parents are probably looking at me like, make sure you plug in GPS when you send my kids to camp here in a couple weeks. I promise you, rest assured, I will put in my GPS. So Alana, we are actually heading down I-4. We are heading down towards Miami. And at about an hour into this drive, my GPS, it makes us turn off the highway. And we get on a back road. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is probably because there's a traffic jam, or maybe there's a wreck or something like that. But hey, the voice knows better, right? Well, about 10 minutes on this back road, it actually gets us back on I-4, but instead of going down towards Miami, it has me going back up towards Orlando. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I think we've all been there where Siri is like having like a bad day or something like that, and you see it recalculating, you know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, it gets me off another road. And now me and Alana go down this other back road, and y'all, when we hit back roads, that's when Alana starts praying. I mean, she starts praying, we go down the back roads. And you know, I'm over here yelling at Siri like she's a person. What are you doing, Siri? I was furious. So I pull off the side of the road, and I did what I should have done to begin with, and I downloaded Waze. Come on, where are my Waze people at? You with me? I mean, Waze came through like a good friend and snacks and a plan. Got us back on track, and we headed down to Orlando. But here's the thing. I have been listening to the wrong voice, but with full confidence. I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever been convinced that you were headed in the right direction, but the voice that you were actually listening to had no clue what it was talking about? And you know what? It did more so than this. It didn't just waste my time, but here's this. It kept me from reaching the destination that I was meant to reach. And that's the deeper issue, isn't it? Because spiritually speaking, I think we do the same thing. We follow voices. We follow the cultural voices. We follow emotional voices, the voices even in our inside of our own head. And then we find ourselves burned out, disconnected, frustrated. And then we just ask ourselves, gasping, how did I get here? What if the life that we are longing for lies on the other side of listening to the right voice? That is exactly what Jesus addresses in John chapter 10. Now, a little setup for John chapter 10, because last week, Pastor Mark, he walked us through John chapter 9, where Jesus miraculously heals a man who had been born blind. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders at that time, the so-called shepherds of the flock back then, they scoffed at this. They rebuked it. They condoned it because he was doing something on the Sabbath. I think the Pharisees were more concerned about control than they were compassion. And what did they do? They kicked the man out of the synagogue. They kicked him out of the community. And it's right after that where Jesus speaks. And he doesn't defend himself in arguments. Instead, he tells a story, a metaphor. And he says this, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. And today, we are going to unpack those two I am statements, which leads me to the title of today's message, The Voice That Leads Home. The Voice That Leads Home. Because if Jesus is really the good shepherd, and if he is still speaking, then that leads to the most important question. Are we even listening? So if you're taking notes, I have 3 points for you here today. But point number one is this. His voice is the way in. His voice is the way in. And we're going to pick up in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Again, this is Jesus, and he is speaking to the Pharisees. And he says this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, they didn't understand what it meant. So he explained it to them. Jesus picks up and he says, I tell you the truth. I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the door. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, let me give you a little illustration of what Jesus is really saying here. Okay, so in ancient Israel, shepherds, they would actually lead their flock, their sheep, out to the pastures by day. But at night, they would actually bring them in to what is called a sheepfold. And there's going to be an illustration on the screen behind me. Now, this sheepfold was basically a pen. It was made of stone walls. And on top of these stone walls, oftentimes it would have these briar patches or some thorns. And that way it would prevent any sort of thief trying to climb over the wall to steal the sheep. It would also prevent any sort of predators who might be trying to get in and get the sheep. But I tell you, if you look at the picture, you don't see a door. There's only one way in to that door. But here's the thing. The shepherd himself would actually lie across that threshold, and he would be the door. That way, no sheep could actually come out, and no predator could actually come in unless they had to go through the shepherd. Let me tell you what Jesus is actually really saying here. He's saying that God has a sheepfold. He has a sanctuary. He has a place where no one can come and get you. He has a place where there is peace, where there is perfection, a place where there is rest. And the only way into that place is through the door. Jesus says, I don't just point to the door, I am the door. And that claim, right then and there, is not just powerful, but it is provocative. I bet the Pharisees, I bet they choked on that statement. To them, it was blasphemous for him to say that, because the Pharisees believed that righteousness came through strict law-keeping and a certain religious status. And Jesus just cuts right through all of that and says, your ways, your laws aren't the only way to get yourself in. I am the only way to get in. And that is something that only God himself could claim. But you know, even today, that statement right then and there, that claim has provoked conflict of what Jesus is actually saying about himself, that the kingdom of God is exclusive. And unfortunately, that has become so offensive in today's pluralistic, inclusive society in which we live. I mean, I think we've all heard it before. And it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are genuine and sincere and open-hearted, that'll get you in. Or that, yeah, Jesus is a way, surely, but there are many other ways into the kingdom of God. But hear me when I say this, truth is not a matter of preference. You see, Jesus does not leave the door open to other doors. In fact, he says it plainly in John chapter 14, which we're going to study here in a few weeks. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, to some, that may sound exclusive, but let me tell you something. The most inclusive thing that God ever did was just to provide a way. Think about that. It is amazing to me that God provides a way to begin with. The extent to which God did to redeem a fallen world, to send his only son out of heaven into our mess, into this fallen world, to take every sin that you and I have ever committed, to bear it on himself, God kills him, and then God says, if you just put your trust in my son Jesus, that he is the son of God, I will forgive and wipe away every sin that you have. And I will bring you into everlasting peace into with me. And that is where we belong. And he is saying, in that place, there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more disease. There will be no more trouble. There will be no more darkness. There will be no more evil. It is peace in his place. I think it's actually arrogant for some of us to actually think that there's got to be multiple ways into the kingdom of God. He's already done enough. Amen. We don't deserve it, and we cannot earn it, yet Jesus laid down his life and became the door. I want you to imagine with me for a second, standing outside of a place where God's presence dwelled, okay? And you're close enough that you know his presence is there, but there was an imposing barrier, an imposing curtain in front of you. In fact, this was a reality in the Old Testament, because behind that veil was a place called the Holy of Holies. That was a place where God's presence rested. And that veil, it wasn't just a fabric. It happened to be a barrier. It was like a bold declaration that says, you're not worthy enough to come beyond this place. You're not holy enough. You're not righteous enough. But only one man, the high priest, once a year could step into this place. And even so, with fear and trembling. Everyone else kept out. But hear me on this. The moment that Jesus took his final breath on the cross, everything changed. Looking at Matthew 27, 51, it says, at that moment, the moment where Jesus took his final breath, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Torn, not from bottom up, as a man did it, but I'm talking about from heaven down. Listen, the barrier, gone. The separation, removed. The message, come in. Because listen to me, Jesus didn't just open the way, he became the way. He became the door. Have you ever walked through that door? Because you don't just accidentally find yourself in the sheepfold. You don't just drift into salvation, and you certainly don't earn it. You have to enter in through Jesus. You have to say yes to the door. And can I speak directly to some of us here in the room? Maybe some of us have actually been influenced by some ideas out there that say that multiple paths lead to the kingdom of God. Or maybe sometimes, maybe you've dabbled into some mixed teachings of different faiths and beliefs because of what our society says, and maybe you've blended your own belief system. But hear me when I say this, Jesus did not come to blend in. He came to be the only way in. There is no other shepherd who has laid down his life for you. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, nothing. There is no one else who has torn that veil to give you access to our Father. There is no one else who has defeated the grave, defeated evil, defeated death, and there is certainly no one else who has risen from the grave all to give you the life that he meant to give you. I put it this way, Jesus is not a door, Jesus is the door. I'll say that again. Jesus is not a door. He is the door. And until we can walk through this door, we will never be able to experience the rich and satisfying and abundant life that he came to give. Now, let's keep this going because Jesus doesn't just stop by saying, I am the door. And it says he builds on the metaphor with another I am statement. One that doesn't just tell us about access, but it tells us about relationship. You see, Jesus doesn't just get us in the door, but what does he do? He walks with us once we're inside. And that leads me to my second point. His voice walks with me. His voice walks with me. So we're going to continue. John chapter 10, we're picking up in verse 11. Again, this is Jesus still speaking to the Pharisees. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Now, Jesus isn't just telling a story here. Again, I believe he's dropping a truth bomb that is like sending shockwaves into this room. Because he's saying, it's like, I am not just like a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You see, Jesus isn't in it for personal gain. He's not in it to see what he can get out of it. In fact, he is in it to give his life for you. And in the text, we see him actually draw a line in the middle of the sand between a hireling and himself. Now, you may be asking, what is a hireling? A hireling is a hired hand. Think about it as like a rent-a-shepherd, right? I mean, he has like no stake in the game. And when things get hard, when things get tough, what does the hireling do? He bails. He gets out of Dodge. But not the good shepherd. The good shepherd stays. The good shepherd fights. The good shepherd protects. And the good shepherd sacrifices. That's who Jesus is. And that's what separates him from any other voice trying to compete for your trust. Now, I want to go back to probably one of the most famous passages about a shepherd, and it's probably something that if you grew up in church, you've always heard this, and it's from King David himself, but it's in Psalm 23, and I want to take a look at it. Now, remember, David, he was a shepherd boy himself, so I think he knows a little bit about what this is like. So Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4, King David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Now, as a shepherd boy, David knew what it meant to fight for his sheep. In fact, he probably had scars because we read in scripture that he fought off lions and bears. So David knew what the grip of the rod meant. You see, a rod is something, was an offensive weapon. It was meant to fight off anything that may be trying to come in and threaten or harm the sheep. And he knew the pull of a staff. And I think the staff is something that we're all familiar with. It's the one with the little hook, the rod on it. And what the shepherd uses that for is when a sheep maybe gets too close to the cliff or finds itself in a crevice or in a thicket of some bushes, the shepherd actually loops that around him and pulls him in to safety. And David, we hear him say of the rod and staff, he says, that comforts me. Not because life was easy, because he knew that the shepherd was near. Even in the valley, even through your dark times, even when you don't even see a way forward, you need to know this. You are not alone. So here's the question. When life gets loud, which it does, when fear creeps in, when you feel abandoned or alone, whose voice are you actually listening to? Because I got good news for you here today, because the Good Shepherd is still speaking. The good shepherd is still leading, and you know what? He is not going anywhere. You can trust the voice of Jesus, not just because he opens the door, but because he walks with you all the way through it. And where does he lead you? He doesn't lead you into confusion or to chaos. We see in scripture. He leads you into green pastures, into still waters, into rest, into peace. That is the place where the good shepherd leads you. So maybe for some of us today, the reason that we feel afraid or maybe lost or unsure of where God has actually taken us, it's not because that Jesus has walked away. And it's not necessarily because you're doing anything wrong. It might just be that his voice is a little bit harder to hear now because that there are so many other voices in our life with the volume dialed up. And I think a lot of us can take away, you know what we need to do? We need to take that volume to that frequency, and we just need to turn down the voices that are surrounding us and always speaking into us so that we can hear the voice that brings peace into our life. Well, so far that we have seen that Jesus is the door. He gives us access to life with God. And we've seen that he is the good shepherd. He offers protection and presence. But there's one more layer to this. And this is where it gets personal. Because Jesus isn't just giving a metaphor, but he is revealing your identity too. And you know what that is? I'm a sheep. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a sheep? Now turn back to him and says, so that's what I've been smelling. Come on, have some fun here. It's my first Sunday. Come on, we gotta keep things moving here. Gotta have some fun. So leads me to my third point. My third point is this: his voice is my own. His voice is my own. Now, we're actually going to go back to John chapter 10. We reread this, but we're going to look at it in a different lens. Picking up in verse 1. Again, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Now listen to this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because of what? They know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Jesus is saying here, he's not saying that the only spiritually elite hear my voice. He's not saying that the ones who have it all together are able to hear my voice. What is he saying? Saying, my sheep hear my voice. Listen, that's not about status. That is about relationship. Because if you belong to him, you can hear his voice. I put it this way. Hearing God is not something that you do, but it is who you are. Hearing God is not about something you do. It is who you are. It's your spiritual identity. And I think oftentimes we try to overcomplicate hearing from God. Or sometimes we have another, we look at it in some mysterious lens that is only reserved for pastors or prophets or people on our prayer team. No, that's not the case. He makes it clear. If you belong to me, you know my voice. Now, you may not always recognize it immediately. You may be learning to hear it and to trust it, but it's there. But I'm going to say it again. You were made to hear from the voice of God. And the voice is not out of reach. In fact, it's closer than you might think. And I'm going to give you two reasons why. One, it's innate. It's innate. Let me start here. You were born with it. It's natural. It's built in. It is instinct. It is hardwired in you. When you were born again at salvation, you became a child of God. And at that point, you were spiritually hardwired to hear the voice of the shepherd. He's the shepherd. You are his sheep. And sheep have the ability to hear from their shepherd. And even though that he is comparing us to sheep here, as human beings, we know that we were created in the image of God. And our God is a communicative God. He is a speaking God. The whole reason that you and I have the ability to speak and hear is because we were created in the image of a speaking and hearing God. Why would he create you with the ability to be able to communicate and then him not communicate with you? That would be a horrible thing to do. You know what the Greek word for that is? Baloney. Okay? And this is what separates us from the animals. Now, animals, I love animals. I love them. They make noise and communicate, right? Right? but they communicate differently. It's not like they're out there trying to discern the will of God, right? So take my dog, Indy. Miniature schnauzer, big attitude. He thinks he's the sheriff of the neighborhood. Literally, he does. Now, one leaf just blows by, and he's like, Mom, Dad, alert the authorities. Oh, my goodness, everything's going crazy. And then the other Friday night, you remember, we had a giant poodle walk by. And oh my goodness, you would have thought it was DEFCON 1. I mean, Indy is over here going berserko. And me and Alana, we're opening the door, and we're like, Indy, hush, zip it. What do we expect him to do? Hey, my bad. No, what does he do? Well, he looks at me with his tail wagging like I'm about to bring him a treat. He has no idea what I just said. I mean, have you ever tried to reason with a dog? Like, amigo, little muchacho. Hey, listen here, buddy. I know you feel threatened and all, but it's just a butterfly. And meanwhile, he's up here like, ruff, ruff, ruff. And he just keeps going and going. Let's take this further. I'm going to give you guys a little experiment for you guys to take home. If you have a dog, why don't you go home this afternoon and look down and bend down and be like, aren't you the ugliest little thing? Yes, you are. You're so grungy and lovey, but you know what? Daddy loves you. And what is he doing? He's just taking the insult with so much happiness. He loves it. Tongue out, tail waggling. But that's not communication. That's confusion with enthusiasm. Now, hear me. I'm not trying to offend dog people. I love dogs. Indy, if you're watching, which, by the way, he is, because we actually have online for him. I love you, buddy. I'll see you this afternoon. But here's the truth. Your dog was not made in the image of God. You were. And you were created in the image of a speaking God. And he created you with the ability to hear him because he says it very clearly. I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. It's innate. You were born with the ability to hear from God. And this is the second and final point, and that is this, that hearing God is learned and matured. Hearing God is learned and matured. Even though that hearing God is part of your spiritual DNA, it's also something that grows as you grow. Just like a child, when a child is born, it still has to learn how to speak, right? It has to learn words. It has to learn meaning, tone, when to say something, when not to say something. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been around a little kid when they just speak without a filter. Anybody been there? Right? And we're like, it's clearly they haven't matured and learned how to communicate. I mean, take a kid who says, hey, Grandma, how old are you? It's not what you say to Grandma. Now, it's not like they're trying to be mean in that moment. They're just underdeveloped in how they're expressing what they're feeling. And in the same way, you can be a child of God, deeply loved and fully His, and still be immature in how you hear His voice. Now, that's not a shameful thing. That is just a growth thing. See, some of us have actually never been taught how to hear the voice of God. Some of it, maybe it's never been modeled to us or no one's come alongside of us and walked with us on how to hear God. But here's what I want to encourage you with today. When you walk out of here, you can learn how to hear the voice of God. You know, I was here thinking that the more that you actually do walk with God, the more that you actually can hear Him and understand Him. I relate it to perhaps getting a phone call. Let's say that my dear old friend calls me and I haven't heard him in a very, very long time. We've changed numbers. We've gone our separate ways. And I hear that call, my phone ring. I look down and it just says unknown. But as soon as I pick up that phone and all I hear is, hey, I immediately recognize that. Now, why is that? Because I have spent years walking with that dear old friend. And as soon as he said hello, I recognize it immediately. The more that you walk with God, the more familiar His voice will sound. You will start to notice and hear the whisper in His word. You'll feel the nudge in your spirit. And you'll even hear correction wrapped in love. It's not about being super spiritual. It's just about being sensitive. It's not about being perfect. It's about being present. The Good Shepherd is still speaking. And the question is, are we even listening? As we close, I want to tell you a story of me and Alana when God called us into full-time ministry years ago. And we sat down with our pastor, and we're both like, hey, what's next? Do we leave our jobs right now? What do we do? And he sits us down and he says, well, listen, we can only take one of you full-time on staff and pay. And one of you is going to have to work, but you both are still going to be doing the same thing. You're still going to be building a launch team as we get prepared to go launch this campus. And so Alana and I, we pray about it, and God told us and revealed that it would need to be me to leave my job first and to go on full-time as a pastor, getting prepared to launch this campus. And Alana, bless her heart, she was the greatest. She supported me. She supported us in that season of transition. And so it was actually January of 2022, during 21 days of prayer and fasting at our church, God reveals something and tells my wife this exact thing. He says, daughter, this time next year, in January 2023, you will be a full-time pastor here on staff. Now, she just thanked the Lord. She said, Lord, if I hear you, she held it close to her heart. She wrote it down. And over the weeks and the months to come, God kept confirming it to her. I'm making a way. Now, here's this. In July of 2022, he says this exact same thing to her. Yet he whispers and he calls her, my daughter. My daughter, it is done. I have made a way. You will be full-time pastor come January 23. Yet meanwhile, all the time, our pastor is over here saying, there is no way. We don't have room in the budget. We're going to have to wait a couple years for you to come on full time until your church can be sustainable. And that may 2 to 3 years away. And then once Alana heard that from God, she came to me and she said, Chris, I have the peace of God on me. He even gave me a date of when I need to put my 2 weeks notice. And I'm over here like, hold on a second, baby. Hang on a second. I mean, this is my flesh coming out here because I'm over here like, hey, as the leader of the household, well, you're putting this burden on me. She was like, it's between you and God now. And I'm like, how are we going to do this on a pastor's salary? And I went to the presence of God and I kept praying and he gave me that same peace. And it turns out he gave me the same date when she needed to put in her 2 weeks notice. So we were going forward out of faith, stepping in because we're doing what God told us to do in this moment. And then comes in September, we have another 21 days of prayer at our church. And me and Alana, we're fasting and we're praying. And on the last night of that 21 days of prayer and fasting, we have what we call an encounter night. And that is very similar to what we have SOAK here at Kingwood. And Alana and I are teaching that night. And our pastor pulls us aside in the back. He goes, hey, I got great news. I don't know how. I don't know where it came from, but oh my goodness, guess what? There's money in the budget. Alana, you will be coming on full-time as a pastor in January of 2023. And me and Alana, you know what we did? We just embraced each other. We broke down in tears and we're crying. Our pastor's like, what did I say? What's going on here? We weren't crying because of the job. We weren't crying because of the paycheck. We were crying because God's speaking to us. He still speaks and he looks out for us. And I'm here to tell you the same thing. He is speaking to you. You have the ability to speak. This is why this truth means so much to me. The bottom line is this. I'm a sheep. You are a sheep. And you were created in the image of God to be able to hear from your shepherd, and that voice will lead you home. Scripture doesn't say, my pastors hear my voice. It says, my sheep hear my voice. And that means you can hear from it too. I'm here to tell you that you belong to Jesus. And that's what we're going to sing and declare and shout and celebrate here today. That you and I, we belong to Jesus. And he is a God who's in here this room. And he is ready to speak to you, to penetrate to you, to shape you, to form you. And he wants to minister to you. Because I can't think of a better way than to, let's just stand to our feet here in a moment. And let's go into a time of worship and sing and declare that.